That's right. It is the Rundown here on a Tuesday. Chase McCabe and Ryan Porth hanging out with you. Elijah Campbell is live from the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. And Christian McCaffrey, running back for the Carolina Panthers, Ryan, he got paid. What's up, my man?
What's up? That was big news in the NFL and the sports world yesterday. Thankfully, a big news item to discuss. And it directly relates to one of the hottest topics here in Nashville with the Titans, and that is, you know, do you pay Derrick Henry big money? Do you extend him long term? Well, here are the Carolina Panthers extending their star running back 4 years, $16 million per, becoming the highest paid running back in NFL history. And everybody wants to know, how does this impact El Tractorcito?
Yes, and that is what we're going to be discussing over the course of the next hour. Teron Davenport of ESPN that covers the Titans for them, he's going to join us coming up in a few minutes at 9:15. So, like all of us, I mean, all of us that have been following the Derrick Henry situation here locally, whenever there is news related to the same position, you immediately perk up and you go, "Oh, who got paid? What are the contract details?" Well, then you see it's Christian McCaffrey. And I think we'd all agree that he's probably the most dynamic player in the National Football League right now. Would you agree with that?
I mean, he just became the third player in NFL history last year to record 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards in the same season. So, yes, I would say he is the most dynamic. And if you owned him on any fantasy team last year, you would absolutely agree with that as well.
Yeah. So you kind of have to sit there and go, all right, well, let's look at the things that McCaffrey can do. Let's look at the things that Derrick Henry can do. And in my opinion, they are two different running backs. They just are. I mean, McCaffrey definitely has that, as you just said, he can catch the football, whereas Derrick Henry is pretty much just a straight runner. And so I think you have to factor all that in when you're paying these guys. With all that said, I've been beating the drum that you have to pay Derrick Henry. You have no choice. My question is going to be how this signing, $16 million per year, I'm being told Teron Davenport says he thinks it's around $32 million guaranteed, somewhere in there for Christian McCaffrey. So how does that affect Derrick Henry? Does it affect Derrick Henry with the negotiations going on? Joel Corey, longtime NFL agent, now with CBS Sports, joined Jared and the GM yesterday right after the McCaffrey deal was done, and he was asked if Christian McCaffrey's deal affects Derrick Henry.
Does McCaffrey's deal affect Derrick Henry if you're negotiating it?
Oh, if I'm negotiating it, yes. But objectively, no. Because they are two different types of players. You got one guy who is a throwback, two down running back, and you got another guy who is the second coming of Marshall Faulk, or Marshall Faulk says a better version of me, who has more catches than anybody in NFL history after 3 years besides Michael Thomas. But I think on this team, you're probably going to have to pay him just because of what he means to the offense.
Ryan, do you agree with that? That if you're Jimmy Sexton, Derrick Henry's agent, you are definitely going to use this as a part of your negotiations to try and get your client as much money as possible. But I think we also agree that, like I just said, they're two different running backs.
Sure. You just made the case for Jimmy Sexton, but right before you played the Joel Corey clip, you just made the case for John Robinson and the fact that they are two different running backs. Derrick Henry is an old school, probably a two down back. He doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield a lot. The Titans also don't utilize him as much because that's not exactly his skill set. His skill set is you give him the ball out of the backfield, and he is going to run people over, you know, assuming the offensive line gives him a good running lane. With Christian McCaffrey, you can try to scheme him out as a running back, but then the Panthers have him as a receiver or vice versa. So they're completely different running backs with completely different skill sets. And I think it will entice Jimmy Sexton to try to drive up the price for Derrick Henry in negotiations with John Robinson, but I don't think J-Rob is going to let it affect it too much.
Well, and he can't. I mean, this is where it gets difficult, but you know, when you look at the receiving side of things, you know, we said last year that Christian McCaffrey had over 1,000 yards receiving. In his career, Derrick Henry only has 578 yards receiver. Mm-hmm. So that shows you right there just how different they are. Now, we always make or always have the argument with Derrick Henry. He's a two-down back, basically, but you're probably going to have to pay him like a three-down back. This is where I wonder how this comes into play because, you know, if you're Jimmy Sexton and you're Derrick Henry, you can sit there with J-Rob and go, well, you know, you don't use him as a three-down back. You don't use him to catch the ball out of the outfield. He's capable of doing it. He's done it before. You just choose not to use him that way. That to me is probably a part of the negotiation tactic. I don't know.
But that's not. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think Jimmy Sexton can truly use that as a negotiating ploy because even if you go back to Alabama, Alabama didn't use Derrick Henry. Didn't use Derrick Henry as a receiver. So, yes, he might have the ability to do more of that, but I don't think Jimmy Sexton can really say that to John Robinson and have it sway the final number or numbers within this contract. I don't think that's fair because, yes, the Titans don't use him as much as a receiver, and maybe Derrick Henry can do that more, but you can't sit there if you're an agent and say, well, he could do that. Well, there are a lot of players in the National Football League or in any sport that could do more than what they're doing. But at the end of the day, it's about what you do on the field. And Derrick Henry is not a receiver on the field. He is a pure old-school running back where Christian McCaffrey is a wet dream when it comes to fantasy football. And he can tote the rock a lot as a running back. He can catch the ball as a receiver like crazy. And he's putting up video game numbers at both positions. So I don't think that would be a fair argument from Sexton.
Yeah, and I don't either. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate when it comes to this conversation because, again, as we started this off, they are two totally different running backs, and that's just kind of how it is. Now, the guaranteed money is always what you look at, and I have it pulled up right now that up until yesterday, Ezekiel Elliott, the highest paid running back in the league, averaging 15 per year, but his full guarantee was a little bit above $28 million. It's being reported Christian McCaffrey somewhere around 32. So if you're Derrick Henry, those are the numbers that you're looking at. I probably pencil Derrick Henry somewhere in between Zeke Elliott and Christian McCaffrey. Agree or disagree?
I would agree with you. I think Derrick Henry's annual value against the salary cap is going to be lower than Zeke. I think Derrick Henry is going to come in at about 13, 14 million on his deal, but the guaranteed money is going to be more than Zeke. And, you know, I cannot see, you know, just because Christian McCaffrey got paid all this money as the top paid running back in the league in league history, I don't think now John Robinson is going to have to turn around and one up Christian McCaffrey just to lock up Derrick Henry long term. I don't think Derrick Henry is going to force John Robinson's hand like that.
I don't either.
And I don't think Derrick Henry has a legitimate case to force John Robinson's hand like that.
See, obviously we have a job as sports talk hosts that we discuss this and we throw out any possible scenario. But on my honest opinion is I don't believe this is going to get that contentious. I think it's taking a while. I believe it's a negotiation. I think Jimmy Sexton wants to do what is best for not only his client but himself because agents – there's a reason that they do this. They make pretty good money, too. And John Robinson obviously has to do what's best for the Titans because he knows the value of a running back. He knows that, you know, paying a running back the caliber of Henry. I mean, the question that you have thrown out is, in 2022, which would you rather be married to, Christian McCaffrey or Derrick Henry? And I think it's a very fair question. And when you look at the skill set of both, to me, the answer is McCaffrey because he does more because he's got that receiving capability, whereas Derrick Henry doesn't. And I also think the wear and tear on a running back like Derrick Henry is going to be more than that of Christian McCaffrey. So I completely disagree. You disagree?
I disagree. Here's why. When you look at Christian McCaffrey's touches through 3 years in the National Football League, Christian McCaffrey has 926 touches through 3 years. Okay. So he is averaging over 308 touches per season, which is crazy. When you look at Derrick Henry through 4 years, Derrick Henry has 861 touches, averaging 215 touches per season. So Christian McCaffrey already has more tread on the tires in the National Football League in a shorter amount of time. Now, you can take that a step further and go back to the college days. Career touches in college. Christian McCaffrey, 731 at Stanford. Derrick Henry, 619 at Alabama. So McCaffrey had more touches in 3 years at Stanford than Derrick Henry had touches in 3 years at Alabama. And when you look at Christian McCaffrey, he's the only threat on the Panthers offense right now, unless you want to throw DJ Moore into there, but I'm not willing to put DJ Moore into any sort of elite category when it comes to receivers in the National Football League. McCaffrey's going to get beat up over the next couple of years because he is the only thing the Panthers have. And his body, he's 5'11", 200. Derrick Henry, 6'3", 240. And he's chiseled like a linebacker. I think Derrick Henry is built better to last longer, even though Christian McCaffrey's shorter amount of time of being elite is probably a better sample size than Derrick Henry.
You know, it's interesting to your point. If you just look at rushing attempts, rushing numbers, Christian McCaffrey last year had 287 rushing attempts, Derrick Henry 303. So they're not that far apart from that standpoint. Where I disagree a little bit with you is I see what you're saying with the touches, but with Christian McCaffrey being more, they use him in different ways. He's going to be catching the ball more. Derrick Henry's in the trenches. So Derrick Henry's right there getting beat up going through the line. Now, he has that breakout ability that we've seen time and time again, but this goes back to the point of he's not catching the ball. I mean, he's pretty much a straight runner. I think he had 24 targets last year receiving. He did. 24, 18 receptions for 206 yards. So he's just not used much there, whereas Christian McCaffrey is. He's going to be used on more plays, Christian McCaffrey, but I just think that's why I make that argument.
Couldn't you say, though, that Christian McCaffrey, with everything that he does as both a running back and a receiver, makes him more susceptible to injury?
I think that's a fair point.
Especially with the body build. I mean, look. Christian McCaffrey is well built for only being 5'11", but you don't see a lot of smaller running backs / wide receivers hold up as well as someone as Derrick Henry size.
Right. Well, because he's just so damn big.
That's the exact point I'm making. And I think when you're looking at 2022, that would be the age 26 season for Christian McCaffrey with three years left on the extension that he signed yesterday at $16 million per. In 2022, it would be Derrick Henry's age 28 season, so 2 years older than Christian McCaffrey, with only 2 years left on a projected four-year deal, which I think a four-year deal is a fair number to look at when it comes to a Derrick Henry extension or new contract, at a lesser annual value. Give me Derrick Henry in 2022. I would rather be married to Derrick Henry 2 years from now than Christian McCaffrey.
What about you, the listener? 615-737-1025 on our text line. We have Teron Davenport coming up, but text us. Which running back would you rather be married to in 2022? Christian McCaffrey, who just signed a new deal, or the Titans' very own Derrick Henry? We will look at those responses after Teron. He is in the on-deck circle when we come back here on The Rundown, ESPN 1025 The Game. Go to our Twitter page at 1025 The Game to vote on our Nashville sports bracket determining the best Nashville athlete of the last 30 years. Voting takes place through tomorrow. That is Wednesday. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 1025 The Game. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth hanging out. We say hello to Teron Davenport. He covers the Tennessee Titans for ESPN. TD, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, if you're Christian McCaffrey, you're feeling pretty good this morning. I mean, that man got paid, and rightfully so, the most dynamic player in the NFL right now. So before we look at how this affects the Titans, what did you think of the deal? Did you think that was the right move for Carolina?
Oh, it was absolutely the right move. And this is a guy that, you know, you have to remember, he had over 100 receptions also, a total of 19 touchdowns between rushing and receiving. He does everything for them. I mean, you saw when the Titans played the Panthers last year, he had that 50-plus yarder at the end of the game to kind of seal the deal for them. So he's explosive. He's much deserving. It's a move that they absolutely had to make, and I don't have any concerns with that if I'm a Panthers fan or the Panthers themselves, because he's going to play that well for a long time.
So now the question, when you look at the Titans and Derrick Henry and the ongoing negotiation with him, how does this deal with McCaffrey affect John Robinson's ability to get a deal done with Derrick Henry, knowing that they are two different running backs?
Yeah, that being said, knowing they're two different running backs, I don't think it affects it at all. I think they're going to continue to operate in the way that they have as far as trying to get a deal hammered out. I don't think that there's anything wrong with looking at that deal and saying, hey, that's great for him, but understand that this is a different situation. And I think that's really what you have to look at with the Titans and Derrick Henry.
Teron Davenport here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. TD, when you look at star running backs in the league, there's a resistance from a lot of media, a lot of fans, a lot of executives too, of paying running backs large amounts of money because of the shorter shelf life for running backs compared to other positions in the National Football League. Where do you stand in that debate of whether or not to pay your star running back?
I say you pay the people that make plays for you, whether he's a running back, water boy, receiver, whatever. You pay them. And I get it. You know, the shelf life isn't long, but that's why you negotiate the contract to reflect that. So I don't see any reason not to pay running backs. I know everybody brings up Todd Gurley, and he was hurt. You got to remember that. Everybody brings up Le'Veon Bell, and he's playing for a coach that doesn't want him. And then they bring up David Johnson. He got hurt. There are different things. And for some reason, they bring up Ezekiel Elliott. Like, he didn't rush for over 1,100 yards last year. So my thing is, you pay guys that can make plays for you. And Derrick Henry is one of those guys. So I don't see a problem paying him or any running back that makes it happen.
So one question that we're asking this morning is, in 2022, so 2 years from now, which running back of those two, Derrick Henry or Christian McCaffrey, would you rather be, quote, married to? How would you answer that?
I think it depends on what you do on offense. All things remaining equal, I would probably say Christian McCaffrey just because of his ability to be a receiving threat also. And he's not a volume back like Derrick Henry is. So I would say Christian McCaffrey.
Couldn't you make the case, though, with the amount of touches that Christian McCaffrey has had in the last 3 years, and the fact that he's relied on more to do more than Derrick Henry is, that maybe the shelf life of Christian McCaffrey may not be as long as Derrick Henry's?
I wouldn't really say that. I don't think the shelf life for either one of them is going to be as short as a lot of people are making them out to be, because neither one of those guys get hit. But my thing is, McCaffrey, if you give him 15 carries, it's okay. It's just with Henry, you need to give him 15 carries, but a lot of times you need to give him more because of his style. It's built upon everything just wearing and tearing throughout the game and really being effective later in the game. So for that reason, I think McCaffrey has a more long-term option as far as his career is concerned.
Teron Davenport is with us, Titans ESPN NFL Nation reporter. So much gets made about being the highest paid at a position. I mean, we saw it last year with Kevin Byard, that he became the highest paid at his position. Christian McCaffrey now getting the most for a running back. Do you think that Derrick Henry really cares about that at all?
I really don't. I think that's something that's more coming into play with his agent, you know. Like, getting the highest paid running back contract is something that is equal to Derrick Henry leading the league in rushing, if you follow what I'm saying. Like, that's something right that he can hang his hat on. So I'm not saying that it's all his agent, but I think a lot of that has to do with the agent looking to, you know, we're going to make sure this is where you need to be, you know, as far as the average salary or guaranteed money. One of them are going to be the highest for a running back ever. We just have to figure out which one is going to be.
With I was the one that asked you. You told me that $32 million, I believe, is what you're hearing the guaranteed money is for Christian McCaffrey. Zeke was just north of $28 million. So if I'm doing the math, I probably put Derek somewhere in between the two. Would you agree with that?
I would probably put him, before this deal, I had him at $32 million guaranteed. And we're talking about total guarantees. That's where I had him. So I wouldn't have him any lower than 32.
And that's the money that everybody looks at. I mean, that's going to be the number that everyone really cares about, including Derrick Henry. And if I'm being honest, I think that the Titans probably give him that. I do think that they're trying to do some other things right now. They had the cap space, and $10 million or so is already allotted to Derrick Henry because of the franchise tag that he signed. So while it is a priority, I also think both sides are being patient, knowing that the Titans have to get some other things done before and after the draft. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, I would agree. And they have, well, John Robinson has said it, right? They're looking to get something done before the July 15th deadline. So there's time to do it as well.
So Mel Kiper, your colleague, came out with his mock draft, another one of his mock drafts. He has the Titans at 29, taking Yetur Gross-Matos, defensive end from Penn State. We've talked about corner, Teron. We've talked about pass rush, but what do you think of Kiper's pick there?
Yeah, I think that's kind of like the canned pick, right? That's what everybody is picking there. I don't really care for that pick, not in the first round. I think he's going to have a solid career, but when you draft a pass rusher in the first round, you want a guy that's going to come in and immediately have an impact. And when I say have an impact, I'm talking about a bunch of sacks, impacting the quarterback. And I just don't know that Matos is that type of guy. At least in what I've watched, there have been too many times where there's just a lull as far as not being able to see any dynamic or game-changing type of play. So I'm not really in support of that pick.
I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I know I've been saying corner, I believe, is what they need to address if they stay with the pick at 29. But he has T. Higgins going 30th overall to Green Bay with the pick right after that. If the Titans ended up taking T. Higgins, I wouldn't be mad about it.
No, I don't think that's anything to be mad about at all. And you mentioned cornerbacks. Well, there's a corner that plays at Clemson named A.J. Terrell that I think would be a good pick. And I tell you another guy that I'm starting to consider more and more at 29 when I look at things, Christian Fulton. And he'll be a guest on Talking with TD next week, the LSU corner. And for me, when I watch him, I really like his aggressiveness and press, and he's a guy that I think could line up on the outside. And I went back and watched the 2017 season finale. Adoree Jackson bumped inside and played a good amount of snaps at the slot position. So I just wonder, a nickel package with Adoree in the slot, Malcolm Butler and Christian Fulton on the outside, that doesn't look too bad.
Doesn't look bad at all. Talking with TD drops tomorrow. Who's on the show this week?
Yeah, tomorrow we got Lucas Niang, the tackle out of TCU. We have Javelin Guidry, Utah nickel. He's one of the purest nickel corners. He ran a 4.29 at the combine. And then we're going to wrap it up. Who else do we have on there? Wow, I forgot the third guest. There's so many guests that AJ Green, cornerback out of Oklahoma State.
Very, very cool. We will check that out. Hey, Teron, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
No problem. You guys take care.
Teron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, talking with TD, the podcast. You can check it out at thegamenashville.com or wherever you get your podcasts. So, Ryan, I think we're all on the same page. We will discuss that more. We'll read some of your texts. Who would you rather be married to in 2022, Christian McCaffrey or Derrick Henry? Text us, 615-737-1025. It's The Rundown, ESPN, 1025 The Game. RockNashville.com is your community resource page brought to you by 1025 The Game and Cromwell Media. Many local businesses in Middle Tennessee are still open and ready to serve you during these uncertain times. Help them out by visiting RockNashville.com for delivery, pickup options, fitness ideas, virtual entertainment, and more. We got this, Nashville. Support your local businesses. RockNashville.com. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe and Ryan Porth. Elijah Campbell is back at the Wholesale Inc. Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. So, Ryan, what did you make of what Teron Davenport had to say about the Christian McCaffrey deal and how it relates to Derrick Henry?
I'm not surprised that that he said that it doesn't affect at all. I think that is a popular take out of yesterday's contract for Christian McCaffrey, that these two running backs are really completely different. They're on the opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to running backs in the National Football League. So I wasn't surprised to hear TD say that it shouldn't affect Derrick Henry at all. I was a little surprised that he was so adamant about Christian McCaffrey and the question of, in 2022, which running back would you rather be married to? I was a little surprised by that, but I do get his point that, you know, Christian McCaffrey may not get hit as much. But as we all know, all it takes is one hit, and that applies to Derrick Henry as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And we got a texter on the text line. When you do text this, put your name so I can give you credit for it. But this person did not. They say, I think they will both get hurt at some point, and Derrick Henry will be more able to overcome a serious injury and at least use his size. Christian would lose a step, which will hurt everything he does. Mainly thinking that everybody will get hurt at some point in the NFL. It's safer to bet they will get hurt than they won't. I agree with that. I mean, look, that's especially that position, that you're more susceptible to injury. But I think Teron makes a good point with both of those guys. It's very hard to hit them because of the speed of Christian McCaffrey, and then Derrick Henry is so freaking big that it's just hard to lay in a big hit and to bring him down. But I do understand the injury concerns, especially with the running back position, which is why we always talk about not paying a running back.
Right. And there are a lot of people that feel that once you have a great running back and you have maximized the potential, you don't pay him. And there have been a lot of people that feel that way, and you can understand why they feel that way, because the history of running backs in the National Football League has typically been, when you get paid, it's a ticking, the clock is ticking on the prime years of that running back's career. Because usually when you're getting paid, it's after the first 3, 4, 5 years of that player's NFL career, or maybe it's the third contract and not the second contract. Whatever the case may be, that is around the time where a lot of good NFL careers do fall off, especially when you're talking about running backs.
Couple of tweets that came in, because I put out before the show, what does Christian McCaffrey's contract mean for Derrick Henry and what the Titans should do. Keith says, not much in my opinion. He's 3 years older than Christian McCaffrey and right at the cusp of the downward turn for running backs. Now, I don't know if I agree with that. Because if you look at, yes, he got a lot of work at Alabama, but his first couple of years in the NFL, he didn't. He was sitting behind DeMarco Murray and not getting as many carries, and so it's only been the last couple of years that the workload has gone up for Derrick Henry. Yes, he's carrying the ball a lot. He is the workhorse. He is the offense, but I don't know if I'm really ready to say he's on the downturn for a running back.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree with that. And for me, it's all about touches. I keep bringing up the amount of times you touch the ball. And I get Derrick Henry is older than Christian McCaffrey. And yes, right now it's 3 years, but in playing seasons, it's only a 2-year difference in age. Christian McCaffrey's right. Going to, you know, his birthday's in June and Derrick Henry's is in January. So they will both, or Christian McCaffrey in 2020, it will be his age 24 season. Derrick Henry, it will be his age 26 season. So I look at more as a 2-year difference than a 3-year difference. You know, I'll go back to what I said earlier. The amount of sheer touches that Christian McCaffrey has accumulated over the first 3 years of his NFL career, I think it's worrisome for the long-term longevity of his career. I mean, the fact that he's averaging over 300 touches a year, and the first year in Carolina, he wasn't used nearly as much as he has the last 2 years. And when you look at the last 2 years, and that's really when Derrick Henry's burst onto the scene as well, the amount of touches, Christian McCaffrey, 403 in 2019, 326 in 2018. Derrick Henry, 321 in 2019, 230 in 2018. I think Derrick Henry is going to last longer than a lot of people think.
So Danny Woodhead, a longtime running back, was on Golic and Wingo earlier this morning and gave his thoughts on this situation. And Christian McCaffrey is what he said.
I think Derrick Henry's an absolute savage. He's an unbelievable running back. It would be hard for me to pay maybe someone like that as much, just because if you ask a defensive coordinator, if you guys want to get a defensive coordinator on the show, you ask them what they're scared of. They're scared of Derrick Henry for sure.
Correct.
But what they're scared of is they're scared of matchups, because that's what coaches do. They're into schemes. They're into, hey, what can we make them do? Well, with Derrick Henry, they're like, all right, let's load the box and make Tannehill beat us. Tannehill's obviously a great quarterback, but they're going to pick that. Well, if you go to Carolina, and I understand they're a little bit in a rebuild, but what are you going to do as a defensive coordinator? They're like, all right, we're sitting down game planning. Well, let's take away McCaffrey's run. Oh, great. Well, you know what that means, right? We have to put in a corner to cover him. Well, if you put in a corner to cover him, well, you're now stopping their pass, but they're going back to the run, because there's this thing in the NFL called check with me and audibles. If you put in dime on the field, there's no chance they're throwing. They're running inside zone down your throat, because you have four or five offensive linemen that are going to be blocking defensive backs. They're going to be blocking defensive backs. So that puts teams in such a scary mismatch defensively. And then if you go nickel or you go base personnel, you're going to have Christian McCaffrey on a linebacker or a safety. And as we've seen, because he had all those yards and all those receptions, that is not a good recipe for a defense. And so it's just scary, because the defensive corner is like, what the heck do I do? It's like you just throw the paper in the air and you just guess. It's almost like, you know, or you close your eyes and put your finger on it, and you're like, oh, okay, I guess we're going goal line personnel. I know it's 3rd and 15, but I don't know what to call.
Danny Woodhead this morning, and Ryan, I mean, that's what we've been talking about. That's the difference between the two running backs of – that Derrick Henry, you know what he is. He's a traditional, straightforward, old-school running back, whereas Christian McCaffrey, if you take away the run, you just put him out wide as a receiver, and he's going to hurt you that way.
Sure, yeah. I thought Danny Woodhead said it really well this morning with Golic and Wingo. And, I mean, he's right when it comes to who would you rather pay more. I side with Danny Woodhead. I think Christian McCaffrey, when you look at the top paid running backs in the National Football League, McCaffrey should be the top paid running back in the National Football League. You know, and everything that I'm saying about Derrick Henry, it isn't to discount what Christian McCaffrey has done, because what he's done in his short NFL career so far has been nothing short of phenomenal. I just worry about the longevity of his career, the more the Panthers, you know, use him as much as they do. I mean, if he racks up another 400 touches next season, which I wouldn't be surprised if he does, you know, especially if Teddy Bridgewater, you know, doesn't work out in Carolina like he did in New Orleans, then they're going to be relying on Christian McCaffrey like crazy. And then you're just, you know, exposing him more to the possibility of getting either run down or getting hurt.
This is where I think there are some similarities between the two teams. And even though you have different running backs, different type running backs, and quite honestly, different type quarterbacks. But if you take away Christian McCaffrey, you're now relying on Teddy Bridgewater to win the game. If you take away Derrick Henry, you're now relying on Ryan Tannehill to get it done for you. And that is the question on everyone's mind. Can Ryan Tannehill replicate what he did last year moving forward for the Titans, now that he has been pegged as the guy? He is the starting quarterback for this team. He signed a long-term deal, and so there's no going back at this point. That is the thing that's going to continue to, I'm not going to say worry me, but be on my mind until we get into the season of, okay, do it again. I believe he can. I said all along that I thought that the right move was signing Ryan Tannehill for the Titans and not going with Brady, even though, you know, I had a little bromance with him and liked to tweet at him every day. But I do think they made the right move. So Do you see those comparisons with Carolina and with the Titans in that, okay, if Christian McCaffrey, if something goes wrong with him, you know, can Teddy B be the one to win the game?
Sure, absolutely. I think that's a fair comparison that you're making. And when you look at, you know, DJ Moore as the Panthers' number one wide receiver, maybe we're not sold on him being a bona fide number one, but he's a really solid receiver. I think you can say a lot of the same things about AJ Brown. I don't think we're sold that he's a bona fide number one yet. I think he has the potential to eventually get to that point. But, you know, the fact that AJ Brown was not effective in the playoffs whatsoever, I think that may, you know, that may have some Titans fans, including myself, a little cautious going into year two for him. It was a great rookie year, and I really hope he replicates that rookie year in year two and even surpasses it. But now that defenses can get a read on AJ Brown, and the fact that the fact that he is a bigger focal point of the offense, and defenses know that he's a more a bigger focal point in the Titans offense, I think that puts the test on AJ Brown to adjust to other corners in the league and, you know, take that next step.
Well, and that's what they always say about a guy going into his second year. The league has tape on you now. The league knows what you're going to do, and so you have to change your game and keep evolving. The thing that impressed me about AJ at the end of the season, and Teron was there, we were all standing around him at his locker, and he said he didn't live up to his goals for this year. And we looked at him and we're like, huh? And he's like, yeah, I wanted 1,500. And so he keeps upping his goals to try and get, you know, to reach that. And we're looking at each other like, dude, you're a rookie. You had a tremendous rookie season. Like really, that's what you want? But I think that's what I really like about that, about him as a player. And the organization feels the same way of he's always trying to be better. Now he just has to do it. He has to go out there and do that.
Yeah, I like hearing that too from him. What I would say is that when players make statements like that, I don't read a whole lot into it, because what do you hear at the start of training camp in any sport? Every player says they're in the best shape of their life. And you get this false sense of hope with some players when they say that of, oh, well, then if he's in the best shape of his life right now, then he's going to have a career season. And we all know it rarely works out that way. So, you know, the proof is in the pudding. It's great that A.J. Brown wants to be an elite receiver. At the end of the day, it's all about the work that he puts in the offseason. It's about the work that he puts in during practices and in the film room. And, you know, I hope he can take that next step. But, you know, until he does so, I'm not going to sit here and say that A.J. Brown is, you know, a clear number one bona fide receiver in this league. I think he's got to do this consistently.
Yeah, and I still think with the draft they need to look at potential replacements for Corey Davis, which is something that we've been talking about. So
I agree. I think, and you got to find a burner.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, find your speed guy, because they don't have that right now, and then I would feel a lot better about things with the offense that's already pretty good. It is the Rundown. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, hanging out with you. Darren Donick and Chase coming up in just a few minutes. When we come back, Ryan, we'll look at Mel Kiper's mock draft that he's come out with today and analyze that. Maybe some players stand out to us that would be good fits for the Tennessee Titans. We'll do that next. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yesterday, Governor Bill Lee announced that the Safer at Home order would be extended through April 30th. The NHL has released a statement on NHL self-quarantine recommendation this morning. The NHL, following consultation with our medical experts, as well as with representatives of the NHLPA, has made the decision to extend the self-quarantine recommendation for NHL players, coaches, and hockey staff through and including Thursday, April 30th. The self-quarantine had been in place through April 15th. No surprise there, Ryan, that, you know, most places are extending those type things. I believe I just saw that MLS has released a statement as well, saying Major League Soccer continues to regularly evaluate the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, including how it will affect our plans for the 2020 season. Although we hope to return to play in mid-May, That is extremely unlikely based on the guidance of federal and local public health authorities. Our goal remains to play as many games as possible, and while we currently have enough dates to play the entire season, we recognize at this time that it may become difficult to do so. We continue to learn more every day from the medical experts, and we expect to have additional details in the coming weeks regarding when we can return to play. As we have been throughout this process, we will update our fans with every decision, and we thank them for their support and understanding during this extremely challenging time. That coming from MLS. So two leagues releasing some statements this morning, and again, Ryan, nothing really surprising.
No, and you know, I just think it's fun to think about the different ways to bring back sports, whether it's Major League Baseball in Arizona or, you know, the new idea of maybe splitting up the spring training, you know, putting into two spring training leagues. You have 15 teams in Florida, 15 in Arizona, and, you know, you have your 2020 season that way with realigned divisions. I don't know how I feel about that. But we, you know,
basically doing the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League, is that what you're talking
about? Yes. Yeah. And, you know, having, you know, in my personal case, the Reds in the same division as the Dodgers, you know, those two teams do not deserve to be in the same division, but that's a different conversation for a different day.
That's old,
you know,
school.
The ESPN report of, you know, the league looking at the NHL, looking at possible neutral site locations, that came out Friday afternoon, I think is having a lot of people talking. We talked about it a lot on Preds Insiders last night with Hal Gill and Emily Kaplan of ESPN.com. She was on the story that included Bill Daly. And, you know, it's so hard to truly put things into motion right now. And, you know, I think that's why Major League Baseball and NHL have come out since these reports have come out and said, you know, we're being cautious about everything. Drew Doughty, Kings defenseman yesterday, you know, he was very pessimistic about the, you know, the possibility of concluding this NHL regular season and postseason. He said, he went as far to say, I have it pulled up here, saying, quote, "I don't see how this season is going to return," end quote. That's Drew Doughty. And he also said, "I know they so badly want to give out the Stanley Cup this year, but in all seriousness, it's not going to be like winning a real Stanley Cup because the regular season wasn't finished." That was Drew Doughty yesterday. So, you know, until we're on, you know, kind of the better half of this whole pandemic, I think we're all throwing darts at what could happen with any of these leagues.
But isn't that kind of what we have to do right now?
Sure.
I mean, I know for me, sitting here talking about scenarios that could be pipe dreams, that might just be that, scenarios, might not actually happen, it's getting me through the days. I mean, it's fun to talk about. It's fun to dream. It's fun to get creative, because that's what they're having to do, because we've seen things basically stay the same for so many years. Now you can brainstorm ideas that could come, you know, could come to life at some point, whether it's this year or in the future. I think it's fun to discuss. With all that said, there's a bigger picture right now. This is bigger than sports. This is bigger than, you know, your Reds and my Braves trying to win the World Series. It sucks, because we both were very excited about our teams. We were excited that the Predators were really starting to turn it on and looking like they were going to get into the playoffs, and then who knows what was going to happen. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is a pandemic. There's a greater good here of staying in to try and beat this thing. So that's the, you know, and I know there are some people that are like, well, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it because I'll get my hopes up and it just makes me depressed. Okay. Well, I understand that, but there's some that are like, yeah, I need something, like, put sports in my veins and let's talk about it some way, somehow. So I just kind of think that that's the world in which we live, that it's going to change every day. And to Drew Doughty's comments, he may be right, but I bet if his team was a little bit better, he might have changed his answer.
Maybe.
You know, and yeah. I just kind of think that he looks at it as our season was done anyway, even though they were playing a little bit better, but they weren't making the playoffs or
anything like that. Not even close.
So I think it's very easy for somebody in that situation to say, as opposed to somebody like Roman Josi that, you know, his team was in the playoffs. And so I know Roman Josi spoke yesterday to reporters about some of this stuff. So, again, it's just going to keep changing every day with what we know and what the medical professionals are telling us. So I said before that all came out that we were going to look at Kuiper's mock draft. This morning, or we asked Teron Davenport his thoughts on it. Yetur Gross-Matos, defensive end from Penn State. Kuiper's been consistent with that pick. I mean, he's had him in a couple of these mock drafts because he looks at the Titans as needing pass rush, and they do. You've said that. I agree with that, but I also think corner continues to be a position of need. But what do you think about Gross-Matos?
I'm going to be completely honest. I haven't watched a whole lot of film on him. What I will say is that, you know, going back to what I've said in the last couple weeks here, is that you have to address the pass rush. You have to, 100%. And if you're not going to sign Jadeveon Clowney, and I've also been vocal about not overspending for Jadeveon Clowney, then I would like to see them address the pass rush in the first or second round with someone that you can legitimately look at in the next 3-4 years that compare with Harold Landry and Vic Beasley for 2020, and you put him in the mix, and all of a sudden you've got a pass rush that you can rely on. And if you don't sign someone in free agency, and if you don't draft someone in the first few rounds that's going to make an impact in 2020, I can't sit here and say that we're going to be able to rely on the Titans pass rush this upcoming season. And there's a couple outcomes with Vic Beasley with a one-year deal. He can either be a great signing and go into free agency and, you know, well out earn the $9 million that he was on the contract for the Titans, or he could be a bust of a signing at a low risk and the Titans don't bring him back. But Vic Beasley's not a long-term play, so I think you got to find that in the draft.
Yeah, and I think they will, but I also am starting to lean towards at 29 they trade out and acquire more picks because they
I would agree with you.
Because they need more help. So we'll continue to discuss mock drafts here in the coming days. Real quick, before we get out of here, Ryan, voting is open for the Final Four. Steve McNair leads Shea Weber 75% to 25%. But how about this? Pecorine, 60% of the vote over Eddie George with 40%. So Pecorine leading the way early on that side of the bracket. You can vote until 9 o'clock tonight at our Twitter page at 1025 The Game. Ryan, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Stick around, though. Darren Donick and Chase is next on ESPN 1025 The Game.